preaching. Yay!
Hello, can you hear me now? Right, okay, fine.
Let's just pray for you, Dave.
Okay.
Father, thank you for Dave, Lord. I just pray that you'd fill him afresh with your spirit this morning and just anoint the words that he's got to bring to us this morning from your word. Help us to live it out, to apply it to our lives, we pray. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay then, I'd just like to read this morning. This is not where I'm going to preach on. I'd just like to read a verse out of Psalm 3. And it says this, Psalm 3 and verse 3. He says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head." So if your heads are down this morning, God can lift your head. If you're depressed, if you feel down, you feel right, no good, God can lift your head. He can lift you this morning. He can lift you. But that's not what I want to speak on this morning. I'm going to put this by you. And I could draw this table a bit by you. I want to speak this morning right about God's cutting edge. God's cutting edge. God has got a cutting edge. And right, I brought a couple of things here, right? Now then, can you tell me, somebody tell me, what all these have got in common? What have they all got in common? The second tiers. A chisel when I was when I was doing my trade, a carpenter's chisel, and this is a carpenter's axe. I'm not going to cut anybody's head off. But can you tell me, right, what all those three have got in common? Pardon? No? Yeah, they do cut, well, one cuts wood, two cuts wood. But what have they got in common? No, right. Pardon? Right, no. Yeah, they are dangerous. In the wrong hands, they are dangerous, right? Yeah, fair enough. But every one of them, right? This one is used for gardening, cut plants, cut them down, cut rose bushes, right? Cut them right down so that they grow better. This one is used for, right, paring wood, cutting out hinges. This one is used, right, for making plugs. You want to put a skirting board in the wall, you cut plugs with it. And every one of them, right, have got a cutting edge. Every one of them had got a cutting edge. And God has got a cutting edge. And I'm going to read a couple of verses right from the Word of God. It says this in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And John the Baptist said this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who was coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 to 9, we read these words, and these words are spoken by Jesus. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But the keeper of the vineyard answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, good. But if not, after that, you can cut it down. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 to 19, we read these words. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. And in John chapter 15 and verses 1 and 2, Jesus said this. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. He cuts it that it may bear more fruit. We find throughout the entire scriptures that God is a God who is radical, who has a cutting edge. After Adam and Eve had sinned and disobeyed God by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God had commanded, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. And to die has the basic idea of separation. When somebody dies, a relative of yours dies, what happens? You're separated from them, right? You don't see them anymore. You're separated from them. And that's the basic idea of when you die, it's separation. It can mean spiritual separation, physical separation, as I've said, or eternal separation, eternally separated from God. And at the moment of their sin, Adam and Eve died spiritually. But because God was merciful, they did not die physically until later. At this moment in time, Adam and Eve were separated spiritually from the life and fellowship of God. Communion and intimate relationship with God ceased, had come to an end. And so that future generations of mankind, which would be Adam and Eve's offspring, you and me, would not live forever in this pitiful and separated and cursed condition by eating of the tree of life. God introduced his recovery plan. God showed his radical character, his cutting edge, his radical nature. And this is what God did, and we find what God did, right? to recover. He started his recovery. We read about it in Genesis chapter 3 and verses 22 to 24. And God said this, "Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever.' Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life." The flaming sword cuts. It protected the tree of life. This is God's right radical edge in operation. It's his radical edge. It was right the beginning of his recovery. Right? Because man had sinned, and because right Satan had tempted man, the serpent had tempted man, this is God's beginning of his recovery. Driving the man and his wife out of the garden was an act of merciful grace to prevent them from being sustained forever by the tree of life in this pitiful and separated and cursed condition. Now, what I want to tell you, right, I've just made it clear that God has got a cutting edge. And there's something else that's got a cutting edge as well. This word has got a cutting edge. The scriptures, the Bible, has got a cutting edge. And it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, these words: "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Whether or not we make every effort, and whether or not we have truly come to faith in Christ, nothing can be hidden from God. We may fool ourselves or other Christians with our spiritual lives, but we cannot deceive God. He knows who we really are, because the word of God is living and powerful. Does this word refer to Jesus or to Scripture? While Jesus Christ is called the Word of God, and we read that in 1 John chapter, John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 1, who came as God's ultimate communication to humanity, the comparison with a sharp sword indicates the Word of God here more likely refers to God's revelation in the Scriptures or in the Bible. Only in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1 and verse 1, and in Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, is Jesus called the Word of God. How is this Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, living and powerful? The Word of God is not simply a collection of God's words, a vehicle for communicating ideas. It is living, life-changing, and dynamic as it works in us. And D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, said these words: "The Scriptures were not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives." I'll read that again. "The Scriptures were not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives." This book is meant to change your life and my life. The demands of the Word of God require decisions. We are not only to listen to it, we are to let it shape our lives. because the word of God is living. It applied to these first century Jewish Christians, and it applies as well to Christians today. The word of God lives, and it gives life to those who believe, energizing this present life and promising eternal life. Most books may appear to be dusty artifacts just sitting on a shelf, but the word of God collected in Scripture vibrates with life. The Pharisees imagined that the word of God was a set of static rules, and modern critics have argued that the word of God is nothing more than an archival record of a nation, and both groups have erred. They're wrong. The word of God is living and powerful, breathes life for people today. God reaches out to those who look into its pages, calling them to life, meeting their needs, offering answers to their greatest questions. The word of God cannot be taken for granted or disobeyed. The Israelites who rebelled learned the hard way that when God speaks, they must listen, and so must we. Going against God means facing judgment and death. The word of God penetrates through our outer facade and reveals what lies deep inside. The metaphor of the verses that we read from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the metaphor of a two-edged sword pictures the word of God like a knife, revealing who we really are on the inside. It discerns what is within us, both good and evil. It penetrates the core of our moral and spiritual lives. This two-edged sword pictures the sharp, short sword that the Roman soldiers used in close combat. The sword's double edges made it ideal for cut and thrust warfare. The word of God, sharper than the two-edged sword, pierces even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. These words develop the metaphor. They are not a commentary on people's sociological or spiritual makeup. Nothing can be hidden from God. Neither can we hide from ourselves if we sincerely study the word of God, the scriptures. It reaches deep past our outer life as a knife passes through skin. It delves deep into our inner lives and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word translated is a discerner can also be translated judges in the NIV. At this point, our thoughts, motives, attitudes, and intentions are shown to us as being good or evil. We cannot escape God's judgment on them, and we dare not ignore God's warning to us. We cannot keep secrets from God. God gives this radical cutting edge to every born-again believer. Every Christian has got a cutting edge. This is, right, if you like, the believer's DNA. And when empowered by the Holy Spirit, it advances the kingdom of God. It advances it. It shoves it on. And right, we read right about John the Baptist. John the Baptist displayed this radical cutting edge in his life and ministry. When he was preaching in the wilderness of Judea, he said these words in Matthew chapter 3 and verses 7. But when he, John, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now, the axe, here we are, the axe is laid. This is what right John was saying. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Jesus also had this radical cutting edge in his life and ministry. He cut through all the rubbish and all the unreality. He unmasked the religious leaders of his day. He revealed their true character. And you know, he can unmask us and he can reveal our true character. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 to 26, we read these words. It's a, if you like, a catalogue of woes. And he says this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the plate, but within they are full of extortion, prey, spoil, plunder, and grasping self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the plate, so that the outside may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites, for you are like tombs that have been whitewashed, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and everything impure and putrid." That's God's cutting edge. Jesus, John the Baptist had a cutting edge. Jesus had a cutting edge, right? And also, right after the day of Pentecost, right, when God gave his Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the believers also had a cutting edge. And we read these words right in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. We read this. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." And the word in the original there means this. "They were cut to the quick and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" And we read also in Acts chapter 5, verse 33. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." The same word again. "And infuriated and wanted to kill the disciples." And in Acts chapter 7 and verse 54, we read these words. "Now upon hearing these things, they, the Jews, were cut to the heart and infuriated, and they ground their teeth against Stephen." So you see, right, we are supposed to, like the early believers, have a cutting edge. A cutting edge. The Greek word for cut means pierce or stab, and thus denotes something sudden and unexpected. In grief, remorse, and intense spiritual conviction, Peter's listeners were stunned by his indictment that they had killed their Messiah Jesus. They were cut. God has got a cutting edge. And we are meant, right, as we go out into the world, as we mix with our neighbors, as we do our jobs, we are meant to have a cutting edge. We are meant to have an effect upon those that we mix with. Now then, I'm going to ask you a question. Can you lose your cutting edge? And the answer is yes, you can lose your cutting edge. You can lose it. You can lose your cutting edge. And I want to read, right, a paragraph of scripture from 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. It says this, "And the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell, So Elijah answered, go. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So the man of God, Elisha, said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it again. That was a pretty awesome sight, right? This axe head. Not like this one, because this is all metal, so this won't come off. But this guy, this prophet, he was cutting down this tree, and either the axe head didn't have a cutting edge, or the shaft was rotten, and the axe head came off and went into the water. He lost his cutting edge. He lost it. And I want to suggest to you that we can lose our cutting edge. We can lose our fervor. We can lose our first love. We can lose, right, our joy. When we first became Christians, we had that fervor. We had that intense love for the Lord. We had that zest, that zeal, right? And we can lose that. We can lose it. David lost it. We can lose it through sin. We can lose it through our attitudes to one another. We can lose that cutting edge. You might want to ask me the question, right? David, have you ever lost your cutting edge? Yes, 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 I have. Quite a few times. Quite a few times. Lost my cutting edge. You lost your cutting edge? Yeah. Well, I tell you how to get it back. All right, that's okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's great. Hallelujah. But if you've lost it and you haven't got it back, I'll tell you how to get it back. This man, right, this prophet, he got his cutting edge back. Got his cutting edge back. And the place, right, where you get your cutting edge back is where, right, you come first to Jesus, is the cross. It's the cross. When you see Jesus, when you see, right, what he done for you, when you see who he is, his love, his mercy, his grace, what he's done for you, you will get your cutting edge back. You get it back. Yeah, well, don't put him on the back seat. Don't put him on the back seat. So that's what I want to leave with you this morning, right? You've got a cutting edge. You might lose a cutting edge, but you can get it back. You can get it back. You young people up there, you've got a cutting edge, okay? God intends you, right, wants you to use your cutting edge. Wants you to use it. He wants you to be effective like these first disciples, these first believers in Jesus. They had a cutting edge, right? Right, John the Baptist, right, he had a cutting edge, and he lost his life because of his cutting edge. Stephen had a cutting edge. He lost his life because of his cutting edge. And, you know, I'm not saying that God would take you down that path, but he might. He might. He might. So, right this morning, if you find yourself, right, that you once had a cutting edge and you've lost it, I want to help you this morning. I want to pray for you. Stuart will pray for you. Other people will pray for you. To get your cutting edge back so that you'd be You'll be all out for Jesus. You'll be fully out for him this morning. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. That was a cracking word. Is this on? Testing. Guys, we're going to finish with a song of worship, and then there's a chance for prayer. You can either come and get prayer while we're singing this. I'd be happy to pray with you. Dave will be happy to pray with you. If you know that you've lost that cutting edge and you just